This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Man, we will. Amen, amen. Today's message is called Mission Possible. Where did Mission Possible come from? It came from my plans. It went on my mission trip to Guatemala. We planned a church mission trip, and lo and behold, I was in. I bought my flight, got a good deal, non-refundable. A week before I left church, I called our friend here in Oklahoma City whose brother lives in Guatemala. We've stayed there three times before. And I said, I just want to ensure he's going to pick me up at the airport and you have my flight information that I've already given you. And you said he's excited for me to come. And by the way, our friend in Guatemala, Pastor Gregory, his wife passed away at the end of January. And he said, he'll be so excited to spend time with you during this time. And a week before I left, I called to ensure everything was ready. And he said, this is where Mission Possible comes from. You're going to Guatemala? Mind you, I've been talking to him since November. I said, I'm sorry? He said, are you saying you're going to Guatemala? Yes, next week. You told me your brother was picking me up. And I'm staying with him and he's so excited to see me. He said, I don't think that's a good time. He'll be in the United States. This is a true story. I can't make this stuff up. Again, I said, I'm sorry. He said, it's not a good time. Maybe you could go the next month. He'll be here. I said, thank you very much. I have non-refundable tickets. I'll be there in Guatemala anyway. Talk to you later. Dr. Johnson, I need some help. Who's our other friends in Guatemala that we know? So he got me with a pastor up in Tulsa, Pastor Frazier. And Frazier contacted another group down there. He said, Adam, everything's set. They're going to pick you up. I worked with Kaylin. That week before Kaylin, when I disappeared a lot, I was making desperate phone calls or taking desperate phone calls. Are you sure they're going to pick me up? Yes, Adam. Guys, this is a true story. Again, I can't make this stuff up. I get on the airplane, I go down, and my wife and I talked about it. We prayed. And I'll be honest, I kept that from the church body. My wife knew and my son knew. And I said, I don't want anyone worrying. I don't want anyone saying, are you sure you're supposed to go? Maybe God's telling you don't go. I had talked to him and he assured me, go. Not just because of that non-refundable ticket thing. But he said, go, Adam, it's okay. We were at peace. She said, are you scared? I said, no. She said, okay, then I'm not either. Got on the plane, went down there, got to Houston, rode on the plane. I said, do I have to get my bag again and do it? Or is that coming back into the country? I don't remember. I said, no, you're fine. Let me see your ticket. Do you mind if we put you in an exit row? Now, I'm 6 foot tall. And those plane seats are made for 5-footers or 4-footers. I don't know what. And I said, an exit row? You mean like with 3 feet of room in front of me? Sign me up. Are you sure? Don't ask again. I'm sure. So I get in there. I have some leg room now. Lady sits next to me. And I said, are you from Guatemala? Are you going to visit or what? She said, no, I live there. I have a couple shops there. And she told me, and this will come back, there's a point to all this, and I'm kind of recapping my mission trip, but telling you what God has done down there. So we had a nice conversation. We get our little paperwork we have to fill out to go in the country and go out of the country and whatever. And I looked off hers to get answers. She looked off mine to get answers, and we got ours completed together finally. We got off, and she said, so what are you going down there for? I said, mission trip. She said, oh, you with a group? I said, a group of one. And I said, but there's a lot of people going down there with me, and they're praying for me. She said, Joe, you're Christian. All right. What church are you going to? I said, that's a good part. I don't know. Oh, well, where are you staying? Again, I don't know. So as we got off the plane, she said, are you sure you're going to be okay? I said, absolutely. I said, but should they not happen to be down there, I'm going to look you up in the baggage claim, so don't go far. She said, okay. I saw her down in baggage claim and said, don't you leave before me. Just hang tight a minute. But when I got in there, I had to fill out some paperwork and I exchanged some money. And they asked me three questions. They said, where are you staying? I don't know. What's their phone number? I didn't even have a phone number. I don't know. Notes to self, probably better get that in the future. But anyway, they said, what's their name? And I looked through my phone. I said, Pastor Hector. That's all I got, man. I don't have a last name. I don't have a church name. I don't have anything. Pastor Hector will pick you up. Thank you, God. I believe in you. I trust in you. Are you worried? Nope. The stupidity of me sometimes. Golly, I don't know. But I guess God knew that. And just press on, Adam. And so they said, we're just going to put a local hotel down for you. I said, sounds good to me. Because I don't know if I'm staying in a church at someone's home. I don't have a clue. Remember, Mission Possible. Those plans I had made, God said, nope. Those are off the table. The guy's not even in Potosí anymore. It's about an hour and a half northwest of, maybe 2 hours northwest of Guatemala City. And I walked outside, and Eric, you've been there before. There's a lot of people out there waiting for people. And you're trying to go through this mass of hundreds of people and go, which one's waiting for me? So I look at the signs. I thought, Adam Dilley, they ask what church name. I'll see a prayer of faith sign, something. None over there. None there. I know the lady's still inside in baggage claim. She hasn't come out. I look again. And I see a guy kind of going, I thought, is he waving at me? I went like that. I grabbed my bag, went like that. I said, uh-oh, he's moved. Where'd he go? And I started moving, and I'm walking along. And again, I'm not making this up. This is the truth. And I'm walking along, and I hear this, Pastor Adam. I said, I hear you, but I don't see you. And he stands out from behind someone. He said, I'm right here, Pastor Adam. I said, yes. He said, I'm Pastor Francisco, and this is Pastor Hector. Pastor Hector, yeah, nice to meet you guys. And he spoke English. Francisco did. And I thought, is that not like God sometimes? Hey, Adam. Hang on, God, I hear you. I don't see you, but I hear you. And he says, I'm right here in front of you. I was right next to the guy. Adam, I hear you. I don't see you. He said, I'm right here. Right here as I'm walking past him. And that was my first lesson. Well, first lesson was when you make your plans, be prepared for God to say, I got other plans for you. And then go down there and trust and rely on God. From that moment on, I was at peace. I looked back, saw the lady from the sat next to me with the two shops, said, I'm good to go. And I left. You can go too. And I left. 15 minutes later, we're two blocks from the airport due to traffic. Now, I Googled this because I couldn't fathom how much traffic was there. 2.74 million people in Guatemala City. They said, our traffic has grown, but our road system hasn't grown at all. It was busy before when we were there. And it was stop and go traffic. We left at 5:30 a.m. one morning and we were in a traffic jam. Okay, so now I want to tell you what God did while I was down there, how he used me and how he blessed me. And I thought day one, we went and ate, got to my hotel. They took me to a hotel, so now I know where I'm staying. And I called my wife and said, they've got me. I'm here. Everything's good. I'll call you later. Got in the hotel. They said, we'll be back tonight to pick you up at 7 o'clock for dinner. Just relax. By now, it's 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I said, okay. So 6:45, I was trying to be down there 15 minutes early. I'm down there waiting, and I learned my first lesson in Guatemala. That's an approximation. Give or take an hour to an hour and a half. Okay, because at 6:45, I sat there, and finally the lady at the hotel counter calls me over, and she pulls up her Google Translator. Thank God for that. And she says, are you waiting on someone? I said, yes, they're to pick me up at 7 o'clock. It's 7:30 now. She said, it looks like they're late. I said, very late. 7:50, they showed up and said, sorry, traffic was horrendous. We went to dinner and traffic was horrendous. Everything happens later there. I said, okay, great. So the first day was pretty much just get settled in, have meal with them, get to know them. Had great conversation. Again, Pastor Francisco was the associate pastor at the church where I hosted me. Pastor Hector could speak some English. But now day two, they pick me up and we drive to another town. They said, we're going to a recovery home. And this is for addicts of all different kinds. And you're going to do the message. I said, amen. By the way, some of you gave me money to distribute as I saw fit. I saw fit to take care of some people that were in need. And your money went far. And thank you for that. I got to the recovery house. And I'm telling you, they make the best use out of everything they have. And they're in a little narrow space and they're crammed in there. And they're singing songs that are recorded. And some guy, he was jumping this high off the ground, man. He was into this. And he's praising God and they're jumping in there and they're just shouting. And they're happy and they're thankful. And my translator couldn't make it that day, but he said, the other pastor's sister's coming and she can translate. I said, okay. So we go up there and I gave her a word. And Eric, I told Eric already, but I used Eric's phrase that I thought was so powerful, especially in this place, for people that sometimes think that they're not useful anymore or they don't have any hope. And it was a broken crayon, still color. And I used that. And I gave him a message of hope. And as I was translating in the very beginning, the young lady, she stumbled on a word that she's like, I don't know how to translate that. And a lady from the crowd said, oh, it means this. And here's the word. She said, you speak English? She said, yes. She said, get up here and translate for us. She said, no, no, no. She said, no, get up here. And she kept insisting. And regrettably to the lady, she came up and translated and did a wonderful job. And afterwards, the pastor took over and did an ending thing and they prayed. And when they pray there, they pray. Everybody's praying. So I walked up to this young lady who was two rows in front of me and I said, may I pray over you because she can understand me. It makes sense. But I will tell you this, the Holy Spirit transcends cultural backgrounds, language barriers, transcends all those different barriers that we can put up, physical barriers. And the Holy Spirit works through all that. And so I prayed over the young lady. I said, do you mind going with me as I pray over these other people and you can translate for them? And I'd prayed over people and we had a moment where there was just some music going. They were still praying. And I looked at her and I just said, what's your story? And she said, it's long. I said, I've got 7 days. Let's go. And I sat in a chair. And she turned the chair around and sat next to me. She said, well, I lived in the States. I had 6 kids, was married. I was an alcoholic. My husband took the kids and left. I came back here. I've had another child since then. I can't take care of that child. My parents are raising a child. But I'm a recovering alcoholic. Oh, and by the way, I used to be a prostitute. Whew. I thought maybe Jesus was the only one hanging out with them. So, yeah, it was an eye-opener, and I changed my posture a little bit and said, oh, okay. So, leaned back a little bit, and I said, let me tell you something. And I thought of the story of the woman at the well, and I prayed. Many of you prayed specific prayers over me when I left, and you prayed that this is my trip. This wasn't somebody else's trip, that this was my ministry. This wasn't my father's ministry. This wasn't other things. It wasn't my father's mission trip that he took years ago before I was born. It was mine. And I said, Holy Spirit, at the time, please give me the words to speak to these people and let me be used. And I thought of the woman at the well and I said, God has used you today to translate. Don't you think for a minute that small act of you coming up, even though you resisted, finally submitting to do that, God used you for a purpose today and used you for His purpose. Now, I said, there's no need to look back on your old life. He's proven today in that small act that you can be used for His glory and for His kingdom and for the furtherance of His gospel. And she cried and she thanked me. And she said, I wonder, she said, I come here and I'm filled with hope in this house. But she said, I still struggle believing that. And I thought of the man that brought his son to Jesus. And Jesus said, if you believe, you'll be healed. He said, I believe, but help my what? Unbelief. And she said, but I still have a little bit of that. Guys, this is day one. The next day, day two that I'm there. And it got nothing but better. And I'd call my wife with a story about every other day. I said, you're not going to believe this. This day was even better than the last one. And it kept stair-stepping that way. We had lunch. We walked around. We went to another church that evening. We had a gentleman that was, we prayed over. In a church we went to that evening, the other pastor taught at that church. But we prayed over a young man also that was now going to start his own church in Mexico. You don't think he needs our prayers and our support. Some of our money went to help him in his new church. Because that's a huge undertaking. By the way, these pastors, they're not paid down there. Now, some are, but most of the pastors down there, they have other jobs. They don't get paid for doing that. And it was a powerful service after we prayed for him and sent him off and gave him his new charge to be the pastor of a brand new church in Mexico. And prayer of faith helped send him off. Thursday, got picked up early. Went around to a different church. They preached. Then we went to a church that evening. And I was able to preach and pray for another church. And there was a blind man there. And I didn't make a blind man see, although I wished it would have happened. But we did pray over him. And we prayed for several people. That was a special service in that the pastor was gone. And he said, I've got a service and no pastor. And they said, we've got this guy from Oklahoma that'll be here. Can he preach there? He said, man, I've looked all over. And they weren't going to be able to take me there. And the schedule opened up that they can take me there. And I just thought, this is God using us. And so I'd given money the day before. I gave money here. They gave me back more than I gave. This is going to be a little habitual thing you'll see as I talk about the different churches. The next morning, it's Friday morning, and I'm moving through this quickly. I don't want to bore you with everything, but it was an incredible trip. Picked me up at 5:30 a.m. They were on time that day. I will say that, okay? 5:30 a.m., but we had a traffic jam, and we're heading to a TV station. I want to say, hey, I was on television in Guatemala, but I wasn't. I was just accompanying them. The pastor was, but it was a really neat setting to see that on an hour-long show they had. It was similar to TBN here. Then we went and had lunch. I relaxed a little bit, and they said, we're going to pick you up tonight, and we're going to take you someplace special. I said, okay, great. We'll pick you up at 7 o'clock. I'm sorry, that was Thursday night. 6 o'clock, the phone rang. We're here. So there was one time they were early. Once they were on time, every other time was late. But then that afternoon, they said, okay, we have the opportunity to go to this place. They have a dance ministry in one of the churches. And we have a chance to go to the place. The guy was very proud of what he did. Where did I meet this guy? When we were coming home from dinner, they said, one of our church members, their husband had passed away. Do you mind this just now? Do you mind if we stop by? I said, no. No, let's go. And we went there. And it was like a block party. They had tents out and they had people all in the front yard sitting and eating and drinking. And people bringing food constantly in and out. And they were filling the street. And we walked up and the pastor went up and part of his pastoral team was already there. And he hugs the lady and she cries and she hugs the wife and she cries. And she hugs the other pastor and she cries. And she hugs me and she looks up like,
Who are you? What are you doing here? But she was going through the line. And I said, could you please quickly tell her who I am? And they did, and she thanked me. And I just told her, I said, I pray that God comforts you in this time of need, because our God is a God of comfort. The Bible tells us that. And he tells us those of us that have comforted others and been comforted by him, that's so that we can comfort others in their time of need. And we went in and I said, oh, Lordy, there's a casket right inside the front door. It's different there. And I said, when exactly did he pass away? Because I thought it was like while we were at dinner, but it was earlier that day. And they were burying him the next day, and we weren't able to go to the service. And again, it's not quite the way it is here that it's necessarily tied to the churches and those type of events. It's just different. But we were able to minister to this lady whose husband had passed away in their church. I also noticed another thing when they said, okay, well, let's get ready to go. That meant 45 minutes to an hour and a half we're leaving. So I stood up for 45 minutes going, man, I thought we were going. By now it's 12:30 in the morning. I was up at 5:30. It was exhausting, but we went back to the hotel, but I still felt all right because we were doing ministry. And when you do ministry, you feel refreshed to a certain degree. So I'd met a guy there that did the dance ministry, and he wanted us to come by and look at his shop. And we went by to look at his shop, and he was so proud. He said, this is where we make the tambourines. And I don't mean they just put some jingles on it or cover. I mean, they make the round part. They cut out the holes for the little cymbals. They nail those little cymbals in there. They make the custom covers. They can make one that says Prayer of Faith World Outreach on it. And they put those on it and they paint them. They do everything. The only thing they don't do there is make those little cymbals. They order those. But everything else is made in that shop. And then they made the costumes there, the outfits and the shoes. The guy's quite the wheeler and dealer as he tried to get me to become his United States distributor of his dance uniforms. I said, we don't even have a dance ministry right now, but we have interest in it. But we don't have one, and I declined to be his distributor in the United States for that. And I heard a song that they were singing to one of the dance things. He said, that's my nephew. By the time we left there, he had his nephew on the phone trying to arrange him to come to Prayer of Faith to sing. I said, great, does he speak English? No. I said, that's going to be a problem. We should probably start with maybe one of our Hispanic churches in the Free Methodist Conference to get them here. Wheeling and dealing. In every place we ate, I told Cindy, I said, I really went trying to get a little rest, thinking I'd get some. Maybe diet a little bit. My plan's out the window. God said they're going to feed you very well, and they did. We ate at everything we went to. But it was a blessing to see that ministry. And then we went to, I don't know, Pastor Jack used to say, what did he call it? Suffering for Jesus on the beach. We went to the beach. Okay. Now, we didn't play on the beach. We just went there, had a nice meal there from someone that went to his church. Went 3 blocks away in the evening and Friday night preached at a church there. And by the way, I gave away more money at this church, and they gave me more back. And the same thing happened each night. So Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I gave away more. They gave me more back. The next day, I'd give away more. They gave me more back. And this just happened each time. I told Cindy, it's unbelievable what I'm witnessing here. But that's nothing compared to what I witnessed this night. Down in the port of San Jose, I'm preaching in the church. And I preached on healing. And I gave different stories. And I gave the different situations that people had to do. They have to submit to God. And they have to humble themselves. It's hard to submit if you haven't humbled yourself first. So they had to humble themselves and submit to God. And then it came to action. And then some just had to believe again because of their unbelief. Some simply had to persist. Jesus, don't you know? And due to their persistence, Jesus said, okay. Came time to pray for these individuals. Many people laying out on the floor after we prayed. And I've never witnessed this in my life. A lady started spitting up blood. And it wasn't this pinkish stuff. This was the reddest blood I've ever seen in my life. And she was into witchcraft. And we prayed that that would leave her. And she would be healed of that. And she starts spitting blood on the floor all over it. You can't bite your cheek hard enough to produce this kind of blood in the amount. And then out of her mouth, I saw with my own eyes, came a form about this size out of her mouth. And that substance was what was inside of her. Now, I've never seen anything manifested like that in my life. And I said, Lord, thank you for my unbelief. Thank you for healing my unbelief. And I saw that as we prayed over this woman. Unbelievable. Headed back home that night after much time in prayer with that church. And unfortunately, a lot of the young people around Guatemala and around some of these small towns and villages we went to, even in Guatemala City, they don't have a whole lot going on, so they engage in sex. And we prayed for many people that were engaged in sex, and the one that was a prostitute, but the others were just engaging in sex. And we prayed over them. Now, the next day, Saturday, was kind of a free day, but they said the pastor's sister and brother would come pick me up, the one that could speak English. They were going to take me to lunch. We'd go walk around, check out some shops, and then I'd be free. Had a wonderful lunch, walked around several blocks in downtown Guatemala City, which was beautiful and safe in that area. Went back, and they said, well, let's take you to some shops. I said, okay. And it's in shops that we'd been through before, little tiny holes in the walls, multiple shops, multiple rows and aisles of shops. And as I walked a couple of these rows, I walked past one and I went, hey, it's my friend from the airplane. There she is. I told you, remember, she's going to pop back up. That woman was standing there in her shop. Hang on, Guatemala City, 2.74 million people. The one person I knew before I got there, that I'd met on the plane going there, I run into and recognize her. She's like, hey, gives me a big hug. She said, I told my mother about you. I said, oh, that'd be great if I could meet her. She said, she's two aisles over. Come on. And we went and met her mother. I was like, God, you know, you just got this way about you. He's provided for me. God is my provider. God is the source of all we need. We think we need things. He says, man, I'll give you everything that you need. Not everything you want. I'll give you everything you need. I wanted to go to Potosia and see Pastor Gregory. Oh, I almost forgot. His daughter called me day two or three. Said, Adam, she called me before I left. Adam, we're so sorry about that. We just didn't know. And Nicholas, if we can keep him in prayer, the brother that lives here as well as Gregory, his wife passed away. He's had a stroke a couple years back. He's starting to lose his memory, as we now know. And just keep them in prayers. They're still good people. They're great people. And she said, my dad is so upset that this happened and he won't be able to see you. So she emailed me, I want to say Wednesday. And she said, Adam, dad was so upset. He's canceled his flight and wants to know if you can come out on Friday and see us. I said, I'll be gone 5:30 a.m. till midnight or later. But I've got Monday free. She said, I'll get back with you. On Thursday, she said, Monday works. We'll send someone to pick you up. Send someone to pick you up at 7. Keep that number in mind as well. So Saturday, met the lady. We went home, went back to the hotel. I said, I'm just going to get something to eat. They've got Domino's, Little Caesars, Papa John's. I said, and everybody's running everything on a motorcycle. I said, I'll just order some food. So I talked to my friend at the counter and the security guard that's there 24/7, one of them, and said, can I share pizza with you guys? You've been very good to me, taking good care of me. They said, absolutely. I bought them pizza. I ate pizza. We had a great night. And I headed off into my little la-la land. Got some sleep. Sunday morning, I'm going to jump ahead of myself. Each step is powerful, and I want you to get where God has shown himself up. I'm three blocks from the hotel. They're taking me back. And we pass a young man three blocks from the hotel. and he's got his Bible, and he's on the sidewalk,
and he's knelt down with his head in his Bible.
And the lady said, oh, he's praying. I said, I see that. And I wanted to go back, and I wanted to pray over him, but I thought, I can't talk to the guy. Probably not safest thing to just wander alone 3 blocks away from the hotel. And I didn't. But I thought it was a powerful statement of him just there where he was, praying on the sidewalk. So the next morning, I get picked up at 6:30 a.m. We're going to this lady's church. It's the largest or second largest church in Guatemala. Holds 12 to 15,000 people. It's a big church. Took us about an hour to get there. And as we're driving up there, she said, oh, remember the guy we saw praying? I said, yes. She said, we went back. And I prayed over him. His parents are both dead. And he takes care of his little brother. And all he does is shine shoes. And he doesn't have enough money to pay some debt. And he wanted to kill himself. Now, are you guys hearing this? He wanted to kill himself. Don't think for a second that there aren't godly people that have those thoughts. Because he had his Bible. He believed in it. He's kneeling down and he is praying to God. And what he revealed to her was, I was praying, God, send me a sign or send me someone to show me you exist and you hear me. And he said, and 5 minutes later, you're tapping on my shoulder going, hey, are you okay? They fed him. They gave him hope. She invited him to church the next day. He told her, I thought about Proverbs. Oh, Lordy, did I write it down? Well, Proverbs, it talks about, Proverbs 14:31. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. And so we went to this big giant church. Got the message there and then headed back because now I'm going to preach Sunday at Pastor Hector's church. And she said, we've got to go pick up this guy. And he's going to meet me at the gas station. I've called him. We exchanged phone numbers. She said, if you ever run out of hope, you call me and I'll be there. And we went by and we picked him up. And we prayed for him before service. I prayed for him during the service before I started preaching while they were still doing praise and worship. And I said, will you please tell him to believe the whole gospel? He knew that part about the poor in Proverbs, but would you please give him the whole message and tell him to rely on the whole thing, because that will be his out, that will be his hope, that will be his joy and his peace and his rest in the things that he is facing. And I preached a message there at church. We had lunch afterwards. I thought, okay, great. I can go back to the hotel. We're hanging out. And they said, we've got a church tonight celebrating a 7-year anniversary. Do you want to go with us? And I thought, oh, now I'm their needy child. They're just going to say, oh, let's take him with us because he's still here. I thought, no. You guys go alone. I said, please just leave me and you guys go enjoy that. Then it turned. They're like, we'd really like for you to come. I'm like, oh, now I'm insulting them if I turn them down. I'm like, no rest. Okay, I'll do it. And I said, I'd be glad to go. And we went there. And so then we celebrated the church. It was celebrating their 7th year. I thought, how powerful is that? We get to pray for new pastors. We get to pray for prostitutes, drug addicts, alcoholics, recovering addicts of all kinds. We get to pray over a man who's considering suicide. We get to pray over a woman whose husband passed away. We get to celebrate a 7-year anniversary, another year that a new church is going strong. And we went and celebrated, and we saw dancers there and dancers at another church. And they danced nonstop for 45 minutes. It was beautiful. And of course, after that was another big meal. They brought out a loaf of bread like this big for each person. I said, well, no wonder Jesus fed all his people. He was serving bread this size. It was huge. I said, please, please. So that turned out to be a wonderful day. And then Monday morning came. I'm going to Potsasia. I'm going to see Pastor Gregory. And I'm going to see the school and the kids. So I'm down there again. They'll pick you up at 7, 6:45. At 8:15, he shows up. I got to Potsasia. They said, did he pick you up at 7? I said, no, 8:15. They said, really? What happened? I said, I don't know. We couldn't speak English. Or I couldn't speak Spanish. He couldn't speak English. It was a quiet trip. I did my best through my Google Translator, but we had our hands full just trying to drive in the traffic. And I pulled into Potsasia. And I thought, man, I've always said in the past, my first mission trip was my father opening my eyes to going. Pastor Jack saying, here's an opportunity. But even that wasn't going to do it. My brother Eric said, man, let's go. I'm going with Eric. I'll go with him anywhere. Let's go. We get in trouble. We get thrown in jail. We get beat for telling people about Jesus. So be it. That's biblical. I remember the story, and all I do, I have next to that, Eric and Adam. Written out in my column. I thought, there we are, getting beat for Jesus' sake. Woohoo! Counting it all worthy, you know? And I said, Eric gave me the comfort to say, I'm going with him, I can face anything. And that's a true story, my brother. I'm thankful for that. And at this point I said, okay, I faced it with Eric, I can face it alone. At this point I don't care, I'm not scared anymore. Go anywhere with Eric. I'm not scared. Oh, you wonder where you're going, but I'm not scared, you know. It was great. It gave me great comfort. And thought about that first trip and the second and the third trip. And we pulled in to Potsasia and it said, welcome to Potsasia. And then we rounded the corner. And it said, Church of the Messiah. And I wept as we pulled in. And I know Mark has been there, and Pastor Jack has been there, Anna and Angela, Haley and Dustin, many others have been there. And I wept as I pulled in, and I got out and I saw Gregory. Him and his wife, who have been married many, many years, and again, she just passed away in January. And I gave him a hug. And his daughter Vivian was there, and I thanked them for their generosity to cancel their tickets and reschedule it just so they could see me. That cost them some money to do it. And I invested in them and their school. I said, I wish I had more. That's where we were taking the money in the beginning. But thinking I wasn't going to see them, I gave it away along the way. They took me back, fed me lunch, took me back. By the way, the school was off that day, but they showed up, hundreds of them all showed up in their uniforms. They had class that day, and they had a special program just for me. That program was over, and those kids lined up. There were about 100 kids lined up here and here just hugging me. I'm hugging people in masses, 4 and 5 at a time. And then they left, and then we sat out in a little courtyard area, and they said bye, and school was out. Because it was canceled, but they were there just for me. So powerful. So powerful, God showing up in these places. So we went back. I went to the hotel. They wanted to take me to dinner. I said, the other group that I stayed with. I said, I'm back at the hotel. They said, great. By the way, we have discipleship class tonight, Adam. We'd like you to teach it. Oh, okay. What time is it? 7 o'clock. What would you like me to teach it on? Great, we'll pick you up at 6:30. Okay, so I'm working on this thing for about an hour. Said, I'll teach on this. Remember, our plans versus God's plans, right? I've been working an hour on this thing. I've got this whole sheet. I said, I feel pretty good about this. 30 minutes before they picked me up, said, we'd like you to teach on evangelism. Oh, God, come on. Thank you, God. Another reminder. But it turned out to be an amazing blessing. It was a small group for that night. It was about 14 or 16 people. And I broke them up into groups of two, and I said, husbands and wives, I said, you can't sit together because you've got to learn something about somebody else. So I split them up. I said, groups of two, just go somewhere in the sanctuary here. Tell them about life. Tell them about life before Christ, how you met Christ, and life since Christ. I said, we'll take about 5 minutes. And I really pictured after 3 minutes it'd be this. 10 minutes later, they're still going. I walked over and said, do we need to bring back? No, let's give them a few minutes, man. We haven't seen this before. 10 minutes later, which is now 20 minutes later, they're still talking. They said, give them 5 more minutes. We'll pull them back together. Pull them back together. And before that, I said, how many of you guys are shy? And they're going, hmm. I said, how many are too shy to raise their hand to say they're shy? Raise your hands if you're shy. Okay. So I came back and said, was that uncomfortable? Yes. But was it good? Yes. Church, I'm telling you, this is where our intimacy comes from. When we show up together and we fellowship together and we do the food bank together and we eat afterwards, or we go to a meal after church, or we meet here for Wednesday nights, or Sunday school, or the connect groups. Those settings where we can be small and intimate with each other, where God shows you sides of people that you never knew existed. Oh man, I didn't know you were facing that. I didn't know you were dealing with that. I didn't know. Man, I have an insight to you now that I get. And probably what we never tell someone is, I'm so sorry I judged you in the past. Prayer of faith. This was a powerful trip. And I did that lesson and we ate later that night and got home late. And I headed to the airport the next day. Hey, Pastor Gregory, he's heading out on the same flight as me going to Houston, heading back to the United States with me. Him and his daughter. God, you got to be kidding me. I mean, really, you showed yourself pretty strong, but really on the last day, on the day I'm heading out, you got to show up again by putting him on the same flight with me? This is incredible. Oh, but I led to this last week. I finally got him. I gave him all the money I had left and said, I'm out, and I left. They couldn't give me any more. But every place I gave money, God gave it back that same day. And from that same church, gave it back to me and more. They didn't know what I was given. I didn't put it in an envelope and say from prayer of faith or from Adam. I just put it in there. I just had big baskets. You throw it in there loose. They had no idea what I gave them. They gave me more. Next day, that's great. I got more to give here. Boom, I gave more. They gave me back more. I thought, are you kidding me? I gave more and they gave back more. And every day that showed up. I don't want you to think, Adam, there wasn't really a lesson in here. There's absolutely a lesson in here. And the lesson is that God's plans are not mistakes. We can make plans that we have to change immediately. And God says, I know you planned this, but I've got alternate plans. And I said, that could be for better or for worse in our mind. This trip that turned out to be a mission trip for prayer of faith turned out to be a mission trip for Adam Dilley. And I said, God, you have renewed me. You have revived me. You have refreshed me. And I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for this church body that made that possible and that prayed for me and prayed for my family, took care of my family while I was gone and checked on her while I was gone. And I thank you for that. And I want to read one final thing from Proverbs 3. And I thought, this is where God showed up to me. No, not that one. Come on, Adam. You'd think I could write down the right notes, right? Well, I didn't, so never mind. But what it says is, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And I was refreshed, I was revived, and I was renewed. And I was able to do that through your prayers and your support. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power you showed me in Guatemala. I thank you for the lessons that you showed me and taught me, starting with the very week before I left, saying my plans can be mistaken, they can be selfish, or they can just be wrong. But God, you showed that your plans are better than mine. You showed me a mission and a purpose down there, outside of myself, but in the end, that refreshed and revived and renewed myself. God, I'm thankful for this church body that has prayed and supported me in this trip and in this endeavor. God, I thank you for Pastor Eric, who's just given me the confidence and the freedom and the comfort to go to a foreign land. God, I thank you for those that were in Guatemala that took care of me, that met my needs, and that gave comfort to me and my family. Lord, for the places that I sowed seeds from prayer of faith, Lord, I pray that you multiply that. That you multiply what is happening because of that financial giving, the healing, the power, the resources that that financial giving can provide, the spiritual healing that can happen as a result of that. God, I thank you for that. I give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.